Dodge 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Milton is on its way to Florida. It's rapidly intensifying and is expected to become a large Category 5 storm. It could weaken slightly before it makes landfall. ABC News meteorologist Kenton Jawicki says getting this big this quickly is unusual, but it's been happening more and more.
We need a new vocabulary for unprecedented, for never seen before, because it keeps happening. But that's what we're going to be talking about with this one all week.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis worried about storm surge.
We're also coordinating the deployment of more than 2,000 feet of flood protection systems and prioritizing critical infrastructure like hospitals, wastewater treatment facilities, and electrical infrastructure.
The governor also signing orders that all disaster debris sites, which are collecting what was left of the last storm, Helene, be kept open as long as possible. Today marks 1 year since Hamas attacks in Israel. Nearly 1,200 Israelis died that day, the response leaving 40,000 Palestinians dead in Gaza. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump in Wisconsin for the fourth time in 8 days. He held a campaign rally yesterday in Juneau.
I'm putting everything on the line to fight for you, and we're going to fight for you, and we're all going to win together. It's going to be the greatest win in the history of our country. I believe that.
There's less than a month before the election. The latest Marquette poll has Kamala Harris with a 4-point lead. A new radioisotope facility to treat people with cancer is open in Beloit. North Star Medical Radioisotopes plans to produce 1.5 million doses each year for cancer treatment. The company calls itself the first in the United States to have commercial-scale multi-radioisotope production and radiopharmaceutical manufacturing in the same location. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A few dozen Duluth area workers rallied outside City Hall on Friday, advocating for higher wages and better benefits for frontline workers. Members and supporters of the group Advocates for Employee Fairness and Wellness said those frontline workers were the backbone of the city and they deserved a fair contract to reflect their importance. In a statement, the city of Duluth said it has over 900 employees, works with 7 collective bargaining units, and supports organized labor and the important role of frontline workers. One of the suspects in a violent home invasion in Barron County last year has been sentenced to prison. According to court documents, Ryan Charpentier of Minnesota was sentenced to 5 years in prison and ordered to pay over $16,000 in restitution for his role in the incident. Charpentier and Ricardo Antonio Dominguez were both convicted of tying up the 70-year-old man who owned the home and tasing him before stealing $13,000 in cash and other valuables. Dominguez will be sentenced later this month. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A win for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a 24-19 win over the Rams at SoFi Stadium. Green Bay improved to 3-2. Safety Xavier McKinney with his 5th interception of the year and recovered a fumble. Now, over the weekend, the Packers suspended Romeo Doubs for not reporting to practice. Matt LaFleur says he'll meet with the wide receiver today.
Distractions happen in the National Football League, and you got to do your best to just focus on the task at hand, and I thought our guys did a pretty good job of that.
The Rams fall to 1-4, head coach Sean McVay.
The reality is you can tend to think you're a lot further away than you are. You know, opportunity to say, all right, we've got some adversity. How do we handle that?
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers, with a 52-6 win at Camp Randall over Purdue. Luke Fickell says the offensive line did a better job in pass protection.
They did a great job. They gave Braden time. I know that this week, if they dropped 8, I mean, it was a clean, clean pocket.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny, crisp, and cool today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. We're still in a high fire danger as winds whip out of the northwest. Avoid burning and don't toss your cigarette butts. We get chilly again tonight with widespread frost expected as we fall below freezing to the low 30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Do you, let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... No, really, you have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago film critic and historian Maria Gates. And Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum joins me in studio to discuss upcoming events.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, if you have questions about who's in your district now, who's representing your district, what's going on, who are these people, we have an incredible, really detailed guide. Civic Media's new Wisconsin Legislative Voter Guide has everything you need. It's super easy. Go to civicmedia.us/voter-guide. And we just had Melissa Kay on before we went to the news. If you would like to hear her full talk with Andrea Ducklow, sorry, my apologies, who survived Hurricane Helene and her comments about that, you will find that on our website, civicmedia.us as well. Very excited to have our next guest joining us. She's our friend, our colleague, and she's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. How are you?
Well, I've got a voice, and that's saying a lot after we come off of World Dairy Expo.
You were a very, very busy lady last week. This was going on in Madison, and I can't imagine the running. You must have had some awfully long days.
Well, thankfully, I've got a fantastic team that took a lot of the heavy lifting off my shoulders this year. But you can't deny the hours, not so much just with the broadcast responsibilities. But I'm a dairy kid when I'm surrounded by beautiful bovines. And when all my buddies show up from across the United States, I have a tendency to not I need my mother around to tell me when I should go home and go to bed. That kind of thing.
Well, that's great. You just because you love it. I think that's so great. One of the reports that I heard that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
Yeah.
And they have moo makeup.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. That's why I love the story. Lee McCullough Jordan from Broadhead is a professional cattle photographer. She's grown up in agriculture her whole life. When she graduated, basically this job became available and she's been doing it since. And she's got three young kids. So trying to combine little kids with, kids and animals. You never want to work with them. Well, she's doing both. And I went behind the scenes and saw her visual setup. And like I have said, if you think that your kid's high school graduation picture was, you know, set up or your wedding or you just imagine that's nothing compared to trying to take pictures of these bovines. She did over 1,000 pictures last week just at World Dairy Expo. And she had a team of 21 the day that I was there and there literally was four people on the animal, one by each shoulder, one by the back hips, and they moved them by a half an inch. It was fascinating. Just fascinating.
I bet. Do they actually powder them?
Well, so what they'll do, obviously they take care of, those animals make you and I look pathetic as far as our presentation. I mean, when
speak
you go
for
to
yourself,
World Dairy
babe.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me when they bring in, we call them the show chests, and it's full of hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. people will stand, literally the showmen will stand with the same scissors that they use on humans, and just they say work the top line just to make sure that the hair stands perfectly even all across her back. So when, like, and not to be rude, or, and sorry audience, but when they, it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket to make sure that they don't get dirty in any way, shape, or form. Now that's pampering, if you ask me. And that's what was going on.
What a bunch of princesses, my God.
Whoa.
Pam, we're being incredible. We're being outshone by bovines.
Maybe maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Mubaline. Boom.
Oh.
I don't want that many people touching me, quite frankly. I don't want that many people touching me. It was beautiful, though. They all look fantastic.
What were some of the other big takeaways from the Dairy Expo? What really stood out to you?
Man, technology. I mean, you think AI? So in the dairy industry, I'm long in the tooth. AI used to mean artificial insemination only. Now, AI covers the gamut. We literally are measuring the footsteps that every cow takes, because their pedometer tells us how they feel if they're in heat, sign of illness. So that is all calculated by how many steps they take. We're now talking about being able to have technology in their belly to, again, tip us when they're not feeling well, help with the ever-loving biogas discussion that continues in agriculture and beyond. I mean, the technology blows me away how we are monitoring. We can actually monitor an animal and figure out her behavior. Let's say she likes standing one place in the barn all the time, but it's not a good place for her to be. Technology now can teach her, no, come over here and lay down. No, come over here and drink water. No, come over here and eat or stand or do whatever. It just fascinates me. And it gets more and more impressive every year that I'm around it.
More and more detailed, it sounds like. That's incredible.
Data is a big part of production agriculture today, and it's been an issue that a lot of farmers have talked about with their farm organizations. So when you see, especially now, you see all that big farm equipment out in fields. Right now we're moving from soybeans, starting to combine corn. Those machines that you see in those fields are gathering a tremendous amount of data. So we will know on the go what our yields are, what the moisture in that crop is. We'll know everything as it rolls. And that is collected in the particular brand that you're driving. Now, the question has become, who owns that? The company that developed the software that's in that tractor,
right,
and the farmer, or the farmer exclusively? Because if a farm, and this is the same as far as sustainability, so a farm gathers all this information, the dairy cows, we've got milk production figures. We know how much she's producing, the quality of milk she's producing, how many days since she had a calf, how many days since she was ill. We have all of that. And now companies are saying, hey, we want to be able to tell consumers all about that cow. Okay, I'll tell you all about that cow. I've got the data. Are you going to pay me a premium for this data? So it's a very interesting push and pull. Farmers have had this data for decades, probably since they began farming. And now all of a sudden, because sustainability is an important topic with companies that are buying our milk, buying our grain, that type of thing, government programs are all about, how are you using resources? How are you taking care of animals? Now, all of a sudden, hopefully the farmer is in a little bit more of a commanding position saying, okay, yeah, I got all this information. If it's worth something to you, pay me something as a premium.
Absolutely. I just feel like, and we've talked about this before, Pam, with you, I just feel like our dairy farmers get the short end of the stick all the time. It seems like it's so hard for them to get ahead and to catch a break. So I hope they hold on to this power position and it works in their favor for a change. If you're just tuning in, Pam Yonke is our guest. She is the fabulous farm babe, and you can hear their reports at the bottom of the hour across the Civic Media Radio Network. Was there much chatter, Pam, at the Dairy Expo about the languishing farmers bill?
Oh, constantly. Farm bill. Yeah, we still, U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack was on grounds with us on Friday. And obviously, he's in a unique position. He can't really speak to policy per se. He executes what Congress gives to him. But he did remind people that if we do not get a farm bill done, during this lame duck session, we are in a world of hurt because beginning January 1st, all of our farm policy retros back to the 1940s when the initial farm bill was written, and that would be catastrophic. And trying to help people that have absolutely no connection to agriculture, really, even adults beyond my years that are completely have no correlation that agriculture provides you the food that you see at the grocery store and that, just trying to help them elevate the conversation and make sure that there's a bipartisan effort to get it done during lame duck. I mean, I think we all realize just using the phrase bipartisan is almost a giggle anymore these days. So we're really concerned. And Tom Vilsack made that point on Friday. And it was a conversation piece through all of World Dairy Expo.
As you said, though, Pam, if we don't get this done, this will be catastrophic, not just for farmers, but for all of us, because that is all of a piece. We are all in this together, our farmers and, I don't know, being alive, things like that. And I would also suggest if you go to myvote.wy.gov, that will show you where who all your representatives are. It gives you all their contact information. You can weigh in on this and tell your representative you want this farm bill done. We want to see this get done because that does make a difference.
Well, and farm bill encompasses, don't think of the farm bill, and this has been another talking point in D.C., the farm bill, 80% of the money that's allotted in the farm bill actually goes through to social programs, school lunch programs, women, infant, children, the SNAP EBT program. 80% of the money in the farm bill goes to execute those programs. So if you're somebody that has ever found yourself in your life needing that, and if you're in radio, we've probably needed that somewhere in the course of our careers, those kinds of things could go away or change substantially if we don't get action on the farm bill. The other part that's being discussed right now is we're not getting any new money. There is no new money coming to the farm bill. We have to use what we've got and move it to the areas that that we are responsible for. And unfortunately, production agriculture usually gets the pushback on that. But the bottom line is the food system as a whole, to your point, depends on that farm bill. And we got to get her done in the lame duck session, or I don't want to be in my chair when comes January 1st.
Well, I can't imagine the level of frustration among farmers. I really can't. It just feels like they've been sticking around with this for way too long. Naughty me. Sorry. Yes. It just slipped out.
I mean, and yeah, and I get very, very frustrated. And I've told you, Pam, and I've told other people we've spoken to on these topics that to watch Washington just play politics with this. Please contact your representatives. Call,
be nice.
Be nice. Email and tell them they need to pass this farm bill. If they care about us, if they care about farmers as much as they say when they're on the stump, then they would pass this bill for them.
Pam Yonke is our guest. She's the fabulous farm babe, and we're going to continue our conversation. The current state of 4-H and Rasta sheep. I can't wait. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah!
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
It's time to seize the moment. Trust the team at Round Lake Marina to get you on the water with dock and lift installation services and premium boat rental and sales. They carry the brands you love. Sea Ark, Godfrey, Nautique, Kanda, Shore Station, and Pure Pleasure. They're raising the bar for your summer experience, ensuring endless fun and relaxation on the water. Live free, have fun. Visit us at 12480 County Road B in Hayward, Wisconsin, or online at roundlakemarina.com.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on in Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by our friend and colleague, Pam Yonke, is the fabulous farm babe. And before we get to 4-H and the current state of 4-H, I was listening one morning coming in, Pam, and it was you talking about the sheep with dreadlocks. I got to know more about the sheep with dreadlocks. What's going on with the Rasta sheep?
Well, we found them at this year's Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival that was happening at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds. And my assistant, Stephanie Hoff, was out there. And basically, this is a new breed of sheep that was brought into the United States. And one of the characteristics is that they end up with kind of dreadlocks as far as the wool is concerned. Mm-hmm. They're a unique breed, obviously, and there's something, I'm trying to think how she phrased it. There's multiple different ways that you can, you know, use the sheep. It's not just about the wool. It's not just about the meat. They're great mothers. It also speaks to the dairy aspect of things. But the way that they looked kind of would catch you by surprise if you walk through the grounds.
I bet. Especially if they're going, bah, man, I don't know. I was imagining.
Do you think their favorite artist is Bob Marley?
I can't help this.
This is a disease, everyone. I cannot help it.
He's on a roll now. Let's talk.
Lester Longwools. I was trying to look for the name. Lester Longwools is the name of the sheep.
That's so interesting. Let's talk about 4-H. And this was obviously a big component, I would imagine, for you and so many farm kids. It's still around and it's still doing well.
Oh, it's thriving. And you're right. This is National 4-H Week, and that's part of the reason why I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I was very, very involved in 4-H, probably more involved in 4-H than I was in FFA, although I was involved in both. And now across the state of Wisconsin, we have got some 50 different countries, or I shouldn't say Wisconsin, 50 different countries that are involved in 4-H, 7 million kids that are involved in 4-H globally, 3,100 counties in the United States, a lot of our 4-H kids here in Wisconsin. In fact, I just got an update from Dodge County. They said they've got 580 youth from kindergarten through high school that are involved in 4-H just in Dodge County. And one of the things that I want people to understand is when they hear 4-H, they think about the kids they see at the county fair.
Yep.
And obviously, that is just a magnificent element. And that's kind of the way I grew up. But 4-H today is so much more. We are finding so many suburban and urban components. Schools where the kids' after-school project is 4-H. They're learning about budgeting. They're learning about food preparation, meals, so on and so forth. A lot of real life skills that, you know, again, I'm showing my age. Home economics is not a thing anymore.
Right.
A lot of the things that you might have picked up in a regular class or an elective are no longer there. 4-H really fills the gap. Plus, there's leadership things. They've got sports now that are incorporated. I'm not going to use the right phrase, where kids are shooting arrows. What is that?
Archery.
Archery. Thank you. Archery is a big deal. We've got space science where they're building rockets, mini rockets, things like that. So 4-H continues to evolve. And I just want parents to know, if you're looking for a positive way for your kids to move forward, I know there's umpteen million sports opportunities, but 4-H is a cut from a little different jib. You're going to get a chance to know other kids your age, maybe younger, older. It also involves parents. It involves leaders that teach kids leather works or how to show your animal or how to do these things. So it's a really unique combination. And I want to give a shout out to all of the 4-H leaders. Mine was Mrs. Lubas, Carol Lubas up in Oconto County. They are the ones that thanklessly run your fanny wherever there's a meeting, wherever you've got to be involved. And, you know, it's the same as soccer, but everybody shares you kind of thing. And I just want to really thank those 4-H leaders that are staples to keeping the program so vibrant and strong here in Wisconsin. But like I said, it is National 4-H Week. So if it's something you're curious about, check in with your county extension office, or you can always go to the 4-H website as well. And just remember, it's the number four, if you want to check it out.
Pam, I just wanted to ask you, you know, ever since working for Civic Media, I've become more interested and more attached to the world of farming, listening to you, listening to your show every morning when I'm driving in, listening to Hans Breitenmoser on Pat's show. For those of us who live in the city who don't have exposure to farms every day, besides listening to your show every morning or downloading as a podcast, that's a plug, but what can we do? Where can we go to find out more, whether it's books, articles, talking to people? How do we as city folk become more engaged with that community, even though we're not directly a part of it?
Right. Well, I would suggest a couple staple resources. And the reason I'm referencing these is I worry about just suggesting that people find podcasts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. As Jane and I will know as news people, consider the source.
Yep.
Yeah.
Make sure that you vet the source. So I would suggest going to the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. DATCAP, D-A-T-C-P. They have podcasts there. They have different services there you might not be aware of. They have great press releases there telling you about different programs and what's going on. I'd also suggest our farm organizations. Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation has an Ag in the Classroom opportunity, and it's not just for kids. It's for people that need to have some bullet points or some refreshers on what Wisconsin agriculture is. And the Wisconsin Farmers Union, likewise, has a great website. Those are trusted sources where I believe that anybody can go to and find something that will educate you or, you know, at least engage you a little bit more. But I do appreciate your support there, Greg. Yeah.
I actually thought he was going to, I thought he was going to ask you what the age limit was for 4-H, because when you said that there was now a space aspect of it, you should have seen his eyes light up. He was like, oh boy, I think you're too old. I think you're
space.
Too old. Pam Yonke is the fabulous farm babe. You can catch her across Civic Media. Thank you so very much, my friend. So good to see you.
My pleasure. My pleasure as always.
Take care. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Madison's Camp Randall Football Stadium is getting ready to host its first concert in 28 years. The UW Athletic Department says Coldplay will bring its world tour to Madison sometime next year. The last concerts at Camp Randall were back in 1997 with the Rolling Stones and U2. The Marquette poll shows voter divisions are starker now than the last two election cycles. Sharonda Orridge of Minneapolis says she's voting for Kamala Harris because she's concerned about preserving democracy.
It's closer to my vision than what I see for Donald Trump because he don't see people. He just see himself.
46% of Wisconsin voters tell the Marquette poll they've stopped talking to some people they know because of politics. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The U.S. Coast Guard was mobilized at Myers Beach in Bayfield over the weekend to rescue two kayakers who had capsized. According to a social media post by the Coast Guard, there were eight kayakers out on the water when two of them capsized and were forced to grab onto another person's kayak to stay above the water. The group was unable to get back to shore on their own and decided to call authorities for assistance. Both of the capsized kayakers were rescued and everybody was taken back to shore uninjured. A well-traveled road in Duluth has been closed due to safety concerns regarding a railroad bridge over the street. According to City of Duluth officials, a structural review of the railroad bridge over Idaho Street found that the bridge has suffered advanced deterioration and crossing under it is no longer safe. Idaho Street is one of the main entrances to the Morgan Park neighborhood, but residents can still access it through 88th Avenue West. The deteriorating railroad bridge is maintained by the Canadian National Railway.
And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There will finally be a premiere for the controversial film Rust. This is the film starring Alec Baldwin. Baldwin accidentally fired a gun on the set that had a live round in it, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins in 2021. Baldwin was facing an involuntary manslaughter charge until the judge dismissed it. In addition to being the lead actor, Baldwin is also a producer on the film. He will not attend the premiere, which will be at the Camera Image Film Festival in Poland this November. If you're already looking to make plans in 2026, make sure you carve out a couple hours for Super Mario Bros. Part 2. Keegan-Michael Key, the voice of Toad, told Men's Journal that the Mario universe is about to expand, saying a new film will include very intriguing lore and lots of really fantastic Easter eggs. I'm assuming people that are fans of the video game have an idea of what I'm talking about, because I sure don't. Chris Pratt will return to voice the part of Mario. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Sunny, crisp, and cool today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. We're still in a high fire danger as winds whip out of the northwest. Avoid burning and don't toss your cigarette butts. We get chilly again tonight with widespread frost expected as we fall below freezing to the low 30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 53 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community and look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend happenings news-wise and also a little sports and get you ready for the week ahead. Don't miss it. Join us right here on Civic Media.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join, you can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, 4 to 6 p.m., the Dom Salvia Show. He will be joined by Michelle Velasquez, the Chief Strategy Officer for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Later on in the show, Dom will be talking to Scott Ross, Mr. Ethics Firebrand, and Gen Xer Gemini. I follow him on Twitter. He's feisty. That's Scott Ross.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Scott Ross is feisty, so that should be an interesting conversation. Make sure you join Dom today from 4 to 6 p.m. Glad to have our next guest join us. I wish we didn't have to talk about this. Corey Hartman is the Civic Media's VP of Broadcast Operations. And, Corey, Hurricane Milton is already a Cat 5.
That is the breaking news, Jane. We just got, you know, we've got these hurricane hunters that fly the planes into the hurricane, which you won't catch me anywhere near that. But the latest data says that the sustained winds are at 160 miles per hour in Hurricane Milton, and that that increases it to a Category 5 about a half hour ago. It is doing something called extreme rapid intensification. So rapid intensification is just how fast it gets stronger and goes up by categories. Extreme rapid intensification is a 58 mile per hour increase in 24 hours. In the last 24 hours, Milton has increased 90 miles per hour.
Wow. And this is what we're seeing, Corey? And what is setting these storms apart is this rapid intensification of these winds. Isn't that what makes them even worse than they would normally be?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there's some indication that our climate change and all of the things that are happening in that realm are responsible for this. We have less storms. We have more time in between storms, although we've only been about a week between Helene and Milton here, which is kind of crazy to say. And they're almost in the same general vicinity in the northeastern portion of the Gulf Coast area. They're stronger, they're faster, they intensify quicker, and they can cause more damage. Now that we've freaked everybody out, there is one slightly good piece of news, is that as Milton gets closer to the west coast of Florida, it's going to encounter more wind shear. And unlike tornadoes, where wind shear is better for tornadoes, wind shear is not so good for hurricanes. So it has the potential that it could decrease, probably down to a Cat 3. That's my forecast right now. But what it's going to do is it's going to spread out a little bit. So impacts are going to be felt more along the a greater distance along the coast and along the Florida Peninsula. So you're going to get the winds spreading out and affecting actually more people. We're just hoping that the winds will be less when it makes landfall.
And Corey, these are the same folks who just got hit by Hurricane Helene.
Yeah, there were impacts all the way down from the Big Bend all the way to south of Tampa. Obviously, nothing like we saw with the rain in North Carolina and Georgia, and of course the power outages that came in and you know really raked across that whole area. This is a little bit further south, more in the central Florida Peninsula, Tampa Bay and southward type of thing. But there's a potential that it could be a Cat 3 when it makes landfall, Cat 2 over Orlando, and a Cat 1 when it emerges back out into the Atlantic on the east coast of Florida. And then from there, models aren't out far enough. So we're hoping for it to just continue moving eastward and not do any sort of recurve into North Carolina, because that would just be absolutely devastating if it did that.
They can't take any more water. That state is saturated.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be even worse than it is now, and what it is right now is beyond imagining.
I'm honestly, like, once you said it was going to be hitting like the areas that were already hit by Helene, I don't know what to say other than, like, once it's done, reach out again to the groups that we've been talking about. They're going to need even more now.
Make an appointment to donate blood. Do it now.
Yes.
Corey Hartman is our guest. He's the Civic Media's Vice President of Broadcast Operations, and he does many, many, many things. And he's been involved in storm chasing for a very long time and has quite an operation set up personally in Baraboo. I'm sure you saw this over the weekend, Corey, that one Republican representative from Georgia said, yes, they can control the weather. Don't tell me that they can't. So I would like you to either confirm or deny that people can control the weather. And where is this special apparatus located? Oh, I think we just lost Corey Hartman. Or he was afraid to answer my question.
I mean, it's...
And he's back.
He's back. I was going to say, one of the frustrating things when we were talking to Melissa Kay about this and we're talking about it now, I don't see anyone on the phone calling us, telling us we're wrong.
That someone can control the weather?
Yeah, the people that they support who are saying such poisonous things, they're not calling us right now saying you're wrong. Because we have the facts that FEMA's on the ground doing the work. We have the facts that Corey is giving us, that Melissa is sharing with us. They're fine going on their websites. Call us and tell us we're wrong. We're not.
And don't get your news from Facebook. Don't get your news about this from your
TikTok.
Right? Your cousin's friend's aunt's podiatrist.
Former roommate.
Yes. You know, don't. That's not. Don't trust those sources. It's infuriating. Yeah,
there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there just in general. But then when we get, you know, weather events that maybe people haven't heard of before, or phrases that they don't know, polar vortex and all of that, right? It just really fans the flames. And you know, meteorologists and forecasters like myself spend a lot of time online, you know, unfortunately trying to debunk some of these things and prove that, you know, the chemtrails are just contrails and things like that. It's colder air above, the jet engine exhaust is warm. It's the same as the condensation on your, you know, window in the winter in your car. And with hurricanes, I wish I could find the statistic, but it's something like the equivalent of 1,000 nuclear bombs of energy is given off by a tropical system of this size. So if you think one little space laser or one little, you know, rocket being shot into the center of a hurricane is going to get rid of a Cat 5, we're talking about energy on the magnitude that you can't even fathom. So as soon as I have the control of that, I will let you know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because there won't be any more Cat 5s. And there will only be tornadoes out in fields where I know where they're going to be and I can videotape them and shoot the video and get all the money.
And don't forget, Corey, when you do get that special control, whether it's space laser, I don't know how you do it, but make sure you direct it absolutely at political enemies. Just nothing but political enemies. Get all the storms, all the ridiculous measures. It's just so
ludicrous.
Ludicrous. And I said it before, like Jane let me know that there were people making fake reports so FEMA and others would show up to areas that weren't affected or people weren't there. I'm like, they should be in jail.
These were reports, Corey, that I saw over the weekend, again, because cell service has obviously not been restored to all of these areas. And then people are on social media like Facebook or TikTok and claiming, oh, Franklin up the road, I heard, is trapped. And then they send a rescue crew up there and there's no one there. So they're actually diverting resources away from people who need these resources.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot going on, going around about, you know, local municipalities and FEMA not allowing people to come in and help. And, you know, I did see some of that and had some firsthand reports of that, but that is no different than any other disaster area where XYZ agency takes over control of the area and the airspace. You can't just have people flying in and out without coordinating, because then we're going to have helicopters crashing into each other and all sorts of craziness going on. And so somebody has to be in charge. And of course, it's never going to happen as fast as people want. It's a dire situation. So that adds another layer of stress to it. But you can't just have, you know, Elon coming in and airdropping Starlinks and stuff. You don't have to get back on the internet that bad. I mean, we know you need to get the information out, but there are shelters, there are people sharing information, there's people sharing internet, there's charging stations, there's loads of love from Tide. There's all of these portable cellular company, you know, bringing in the cows, they're called cellular on wheels cow, right? And so they're bringing in these cow trailers and they're doing all of the things that they normally do in any situation like this. It's just really, really hard because it's really mountainous terrain and there's still mudslides and there's still things happening and there's still major roads washed out and the logistics again are just beyond what anybody can really comprehend unless you're on the ground. So, you know, Bob from Idaho giving his opinion online probably doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, and as you pointed out, and we talked to Melissa Kay earlier this morning, she talked to a survivor of Hurricane Helene, and it, you make a good point, Corey. I believe that there are people of goodwill and good heart who are like, well, let's just fill up my truck. You know, we live in Virginia. It's not that far. Let's just fill
drive
up the truck
down.
And we'll just drive on down and we'll take stuff there. Well,
yeah,
as you just said, and Melissa said the same thing, that can make things even worse. So I, while your thoughts and your intentions are good, logistically, that may not be the best thing for you to do right now.
Right. Take it to a central location, work through a church, work through some group firefighters or something that are, you know, coordinating a gigantic tractor trailer where it's going to go to a specific town on a specific date where people are going to know that they can get supplies. And there are people that are doing good things. We've got tons of our storm chaser friends that are down there right now and they've got, you know, water and trailers and Starlink and they're doing everything they can, but they even haven't gotten to the core of the damage,
yeah.
Right? They're just doing what they can on the periphery where they're not being turned around at roadblocks. It's a massive, massive catastrophe. And it's going to take days, weeks, potentially months to even get back to any sort of normalcy there. There's whole towns that are gone.
Yeah.
I mean, literally gone.
Just washed away. And I think it's important. The last time we had you on, unfortunately, Corey, and this was related to Hurricane Helene, Project 2025 will eliminate the department, the NOAA. It will eliminate the National Hurricane Center. It wants to privatize FEMA. What could possibly go wrong?
I mean, everything that you can think of can go wrong. I mean, if we can't, if it's not working fast enough for people now, I don't know how privatizing it is going to add anything. We've all worked in private organizations that, you know, do not nearly have the efficiency and funding that FEMA does. And a lot of people for FEMA is a lightning rod, right? That you hear FEMA and it's like, get out or whatever. You couldn't possibly be doing anything. It's the government. We hate you. And FEMA is the only one right now under the Department of Homeland Security, by the way,
yep,
that has the authority to take control, take the airspace, do everything that they can. Is it going to be perfect? No, there's always room for improvement, but this is a catastrophe of magnitude like we've never seen. And even though all signs pointed to historic 1,000-year rainfall totals, a lot of people didn't listen. A lot of people didn't get to higher ground. And, you know, there's nothing you can do when a town completely washes away or multiple towns. But they're all signs pointed to this, and it's going to take a long time to unravel it. And I can't imagine what it would have been like if we didn't have access to the NOAA satellites, the NOAA forecast models, and the NOAA people.
Yes.
Because it still takes a person to do an accurate forecast.
Corey Hartman is Vice President of Broadcast Operations for Civic Media. Thank you so much for your time, Corey. Really, really appreciate it. Make sure to go to our website, civicmedia.us/help. We have links to several charities, Red Cross, World Central Kitchen, Samaritan's Purse. If you would like to make a donation, as Corey said, this is going to be months long, if not years long process. Stay with us. We're going to lighten it up when we return. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Greg Bach and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, you ever name any of your vehicles?
I have a Jeep Wrangler right now, and I named it Natural Disaster.
I've been driving Wranglers for forever here.
Right, I'll just see you guys later.
Do you duck anybody?
I've got the duck it bucket in the back.
What
I'm ready to go.
Are you talking about? Hey, where are my Honda Insights at?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call, text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue and always shall call Twitter.
Thank you. I almost started calling it X. I started to. But you've inspired me.
I just can't.
Yeah.
It's, you know how you get the thing in your throat? I can't do it. Just can't do it. It is that time, and we close out the show every day this way. 11:52, Calvin, it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, please send it in to Jane Says... J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. It can literally be anything from the world of animals, from nature, from science, from politics, you name it, we cover it in This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And this edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing is a serious one.
Oh. It's
very important.
All right.
Comes from the world of education, Jane.
Ew.
A California educator has been accused of cruelty after awarding bonus points to students who don't take a bathroom break during class.
I would need to make sure I understand this correctly.
There's a teacher in California,
okay,
who has been getting in trouble with parents or is getting ire from parents,
okay,
because this teacher is awarding extra credit points if the student does not take a bathroom break during the class.
That seems not healthy.
That seems rather unhealthy. Like, I mean, we were all in high school once, and I remember wanting to just get out of class and can I go to the bathroom? And it gives you
waste some time,
4 minutes to just get yourself together and relax.
Right.
But there shouldn't be a points value, I don't think. I don't think you should get extra credit for not having. I mean, if I don't have to go to the bathroom, I shouldn't get a reward for that. And if I have to go to the bathroom, I shouldn't be penalized for that.
I think that, yeah. I would agree with you.
Yeah.
That just, I mean, and I don't think it's just for people as they get older, but sometimes if you wait too long, this can lead to other issues.
It's not healthy to hold it.
No, it's not, Kelvin.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like that big of an issue to me. I'm gonna defend the teacher here. I would assume that this is a problem in their classroom.
Too many kids are trying to skip out.
Getting up all the time and going to the bathroom. And the other thing is, when I was in high school and middle school, the school gave us these planners at the beginning of the year. And in the back, they had passes on them. And I know there were teachers who would give you extra credit based off if you had more passes or less passes left off. So it doesn't seem that dissimilar to that.
No, that's different, though.
But I still think that's you shouldn't be penalized if you need something, though. Like, you need a pass to go to the bathroom. You need a pass to go make a phone call to your parents. You should be penalized if you are, like, if you're caught smoking outside the high school because you asked to go to the bathroom or you're doing something wrong. But if someone has to use the restroom, then they have to use the restroom, and they could be a National Honor Society 4.3 GPA student. That shouldn't count against them.
Well, and I would think then, too, this could lead to, well, now you have to have a bathroom monitor go with you to make sure you're actually going to go, which would be I see that as problematic.
I do, too. It says in the article, this bizarre test of vesicle fortitude didn't sit well with viewers.
Vesicle fortitude?
I know. It's someone went to Columbia J school. They said they deemed it egregious and inhumane. Now, that to me is a little too far. Like, you can still go to the bathroom. You can go to the bathroom, but it's
you,
like
you won't get the extra points.
It's like
though.
A tournament of it's like a tournament of will. And someone said needing to ask permission to use the bathroom is barbaric. Well, you always had to ask permission. You can't just, unless you're in college. That's where I first learned you could just get up
and go
and leave if you wanted to.
Chris in Madison listening on WMDX. Hey, when you got to go, you got to go. This is ridiculous.
I don't disagree with that. And if I was a parent and I found out, I'd be like, I wouldn't go insane or be truly upset. It's not going to keep my kid out of habit. But, you know, I think that, you know, if they're a good student, even if they're a bad student, they got to go to the bathroom. This shouldn't be a thing.
And there you have it. Today's.
This shouldn't be a thing.
We always want to hear from you. If you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. Karina, we got about a minute and a half left. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Maybe I didn't hear from the beginning from you, but he's not penalizing anybody. He's just giving more if you don't go back and forth. I was a teacher in the college, and the fact that the students just get up and go somewhere, it's kind of like, are you leaving? What are you doing? I'm talking. You didn't hear me. What's happening right now? So you as a teacher really confused. I mean, are they leaving a class altogether? I think there is got to be some sort of communication between the teacher, because you're talking pretty much like all this time. You're standing in front of your...
Karina, we're running out of time. Thank you so very much. Thank you for checking in with us. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Craig and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Albus. Stay close. You are listening to the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Congressman Mark Pocan stops by for an update on Congress hobbling toward the finish line and a visit from State Assembly Rep Jody Emerson.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time.
Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.